Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. Rob McCarron traveling the United States this week with his wife, taking advantage of the generous PTO policy here at Voices of Wrestling. but joining me from the other neighborhood, Paul Fontaine, getting to stretch his legs out. Talk a little WWE in addition to AEW. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, PTO, love it. I get one tomorrow for my day job.
I was hoping you'd kind of do something obnoxious on this podcast and come dressed in Canadian regalia to repay me the favor for what I did to you a few weeks ago.
Just the old LIJ merch, you know, Naito shirt.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Have you ever had people thought you've lost your job because you talked about a dream?
No, I can't say that I did. You know what? Let's give
some context here, please. Yeah. Go ahead. I'll let you fill it in.
Well, okay. So, like, I mean, I saw that. So it's funny because I'm in the Fight Game Media Discord, and I made a comment about Tamara Mae Steele had a match last night on Evolve with Kendall Gray, and they had a kind of internet famous match about a year and a half ago on Level Up, where people watched this match and were really impressed by both of them, Kendall Gray being the one. And I found it amazing since that match how much Kendall Gray has improved and how much Tamara Mae Steele has not improved, and if anything, has maybe even regressed a little bit. And so I made that comment. And then the very next thing, somebody posts that tweet from Tamara, and where she says, you know, oh, she won a tournament for $350,000, and she got called up for Raw, and then they got mad at her, and then she got released or something. And she goes, was this a nightmare or a dream? And people thought she was serious.
Hold on. Cause I think you're misremembering it a little bit, a little bit. Cause she also was like, I had a dream that I could compete in amateur wrestling for like $350,000 or something.
Then
I woke up and I quit my job at WWE to go do it.
Yeah.
And well, so that's that where the confusion. Said? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She was talking about
big money for amateur wrestling or something.
And then is this a dream or is this real?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, I don't know. People think she was trying to get fired, and I think she was just really dumb and made a bad joke.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was just, hey, you know what? I mean, if I could get paid a lot of money to do amateur wrestling, sure, I'd do that. But
and college are making a lot of money right now. Like, she just missed the boat on that.
I don't think NIL would really appeal. Well, female wrestling is not that hot in the college ranks.
Yeah, I don't know about female. I know the males are like the most of the top ones are making six figures, and the really top ones are close to a million.
Yeah, but there's like four or five of those schools that can do that in the States.
Yeah, Penn State and
Penn State, Oklahoma State, Minnesota, those types of.
Maybe I mean, most Ohio.
Most of the money is being made in the revenue sports, and wrestling is still not yet.
No, they. I mean, they just like there was a meet in, I think it was Penn State, like a month ago, where they were like doing 20,000 crowds for every like all weekend.
Look, and there are some schools where you can do that, like Nebraska and women's volleyball can fill a football stadium.
And they're actually drawing TV ratings too. Like, it's some of these minor sports, like, that people aren't really covering. Like, you'd be amazed at how much money they're making.
Oh no, I'm not, because my alma mater is really good at the country club sports.
Oh, there you go.
So tennis, lacrosse. Golf, lacrosse.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really good at tennis right now, which is kind of
water
shocking.
Polo. Hey, let's go.
Not yet. swimming and diving. We did win the nationals in that. You know, we do okay in football and basketball here and there. But,
field hockey
and baseball.
Baseball, yeah.
We've been okay at field hockey, but it's like lacrosse, soccer. It's like it's like we're always in it for that, whatever that trophy is for, like, all of the college sports and stuff, because you get points for certain things. It's like us and Stanford every year competing for that. But no, that was your controversy of the day.
Way to wake up, yeah. And it was ironic that I was just talking about her. But I started wondering, well, maybe she's frustrated because maybe she was hearing a lot of comments online similar to the one I made in the Discord, where people were commenting on her performance and how, you know, it wasn't even as good as it was 18 months ago. You know, it's possible that she's been experiencing that and did this as a way to, like, relieve some tension.
Yeah. I mean, that trust me, that happens to a lot of creatives that are in a thing where it's like, it's not my dream, but it's better than not being in it and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
Especially when you're a woman, and especially when you're a woman of color.
In wrestling or just in the creative arts?
In wrestling, on social media.
Okay.
In particular, like, people are going to be more critical of a woman of color on social media. It's just a fact. Ask Mercedes.
I think wrestling fans are weird.
Well, there's that. There is that. I mean, there's no question.
I mean, from some of my problems that I've had over the years with fans trying to get me fired from jobs and stuff, which is just weird to me. But I
love the ones that try to get me fired from jobs that I don't even get paid for. That's cool.
That too. That's always fun. Yeah.
How can you write about pro wrestling when you don't even know CM Punk's entrance music from Ring of Honor?
How does Jeff Hawkins call himself a voice of wrestling when he does,
when he's been, like, watching wrestling for 45 years and knows more than you've forgotten? Yeah, he's forgotten more than you know, is what I meant to say.
It makes me cry so much.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on in her head, but it was, it was to the point where serious journalists were contacting WWE to find out, has she been fired? Like John Alba, Dave Meltzer.
You consider a serious journalist?
I do, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about serious journalism in a moment, because that's the third story I have. But the second one, we had a nice spirited debate. I think I've mellowed a bit, but also hardened a bit on my stance. But yes, Kizway, I think is how you pronounce it, the global leader in streaming technology and services, and All Elite Wrestling, one of the most dynamic brands in professional wrestling, Jeff reading for the press release, tonight announced the global launch of My AEW, a new digital platform for All Elite Wrestling. Powered by Kizway, the platform gives fans immersive access to live and on-demand events outside the United States and Canada. A dedicated fast channel with ad-supported viewing available to fans globally, and more exciting features to come in the near future. Now, I guess the pricing for this is $10 a month if you are not in the States or Canada.
And if you sign up for the annual plan.
And if you sign up, because that's the gimmick now in even all software. It's like, well, you can pay more for monthly, but if you pay for a whole year, you get it for a little bit cheaper. But yes,
correct.
In terms of international outreach, where AEW does not have a lot of weekly television, you can now get the weekly television and the pay-per-views for very cheap. Mm-hmm. And immediately, even one of my former employers, God bless Fightful, came out with, hey, if you get a VPN, mm-hmm, and you say you live in the third world or whatever, you can get all this stuff. And I had a bit of a problem with this. And it wasn't even my moral problem. You can listen to the argument Paul and I had last night. I realized what it is that Jeff Hawkins cynical corporatist when I'm not all that much. I just mostly care about my friends, my family, get a good table, don't fly coach. You know, that's all I really want out of life is just to be able to take care of what's in front of me. And, you know, I don't get, I like my parents. I don't get jealous that other people make more money than I do. You know, I'm a fairly well-adjusted human being, I think, but apparently this makes me one of the worst human beings on earth to some people. But anyways, my thing isn't that. It's that all the people that scream about workers' rights and paying artists and why are movie theaters dying? And they love doing that one with me and not supporting and you know, why aren't more people supporting the arts and things like that are now asking actual corporate executives from AEW. Hey, yeah. So if I sign up with a PayPal account,
to be fair, said corporate executive, he was staying away from those questions. He was more answering questions about the actual service, but he was definitely reading them.
Yes, yeah. I know that. And God bless him. Yeah. He's one of my dearest friends. But at the same time, I'm just like the Figure Four board, which is where I'm taking most of this from, and just reading the number of Americans and Canadians who also yell at me for being a terrible person, for being this gross corporatist, blah, blah, blah. Are like, how can I get around paying full freight for AEW pay-per-views? And yeah, a part of me thinks it's stealing is the wrong word. That's the word I used last night. Misrepresentation's a good one. I view it as there's an article I read today about artists in their 40s and 50s who are shoplifting from Whole Foods because they live this semi-communist lifestyle and robbing from the kulaks, et cetera, et cetera. That's how they view it and stuff like that. They're robbing from billionaires and corporations, and this is their form of protest. And, you know, it's like, I get that, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm also told, here's the other part of it, is I'm told AEW is a more refined fan base and a more educated fan base.
No. Oh, they are. Yeah, they're educated enough not to pay $50 for a pay-per-view that they can get.
I don't know. Look, if you're in your early 20s and you're just getting out there in the world, I can kind of let it fly. If you're in your late 30s, early 40s, and you're still like, hey man, I don't want to pay for that. I kind of go, well, it's a little bit. There's a lot to my.
How about mid-50s?
I know. Okay, you can explain your position here. Well, because you provide the alternative to Jeff Hawkins's rigid, strict morality. Because he has, and it's not really that. It's just I have a very intense guilt reflex.
No, I hear you. And I have the same guilt with regard to, and I have people telling me all the time, like, why you even give them that? Why not just stream it for free? And here's how you do it. Here's the service, like, you got to download.
Like, we were talking about this earlier, like comp tickets, I feel guilty about asking for.
Well, I have a couple friends actually, and in the Discord that will show, like, they show up their setup and it's this program that they downloaded and they can get anything they want for free. And they got like unlimited DVR and I've never paid for an AEW pay-per-view. I've never paid for a WWE pay-per-view. I've never paid for this, never paid for that, blah, 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 blah. So it's like, I don't feel comfortable with that, but I feel comfortable with this. Now I will say, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that all of the people that you're referring to that were all over, how do I get this service right now? How do I get it? I think all of them virtually were people that were already doing this on Triller.
Yes.
And they were so
possibly
previously to this, you would sign up for Triller, which is free. Then you sign up for AEW Plus on Triller, which you have to be international to sign up for. So you have to get a VPN. You sign up for AEW Plus. It was $9 a month. That gets you the TV archive. And it gets you the live TV every week for free. Doesn't get you anything for Ring of Honor. Now, it also gives the right. Yeah. It also gives you the right to purchase AEW pay-per-views at a discount. Now, if you live in the UK, the it's already discounted to $25, I believe.
Yeah.
£25. So you get an $8 discount. Now it's down to 17 pounds, it's about $20 or $22 is what you're paying for an AEW pay-per-view. That's what I've been paying for about the last 3 years. I was signed up. So I'm paying for a VPN, which is $9 a month. I'm paying for AEW Plus, another $8 a month. I'm paying for the pay-per-views. Now I can get all of that for 10 a month. And I'm splitting with somebody, so it's actually five.
That's still the part that I just go, man, yeah. That is some broke dick activity right there.
Well, no, if somebody offered, I'm like, no, I'd rather pay full price. You know, like,
but you can't both be on the service at the same time, can you?
What?
Can you both be on the service at the same time?
No, we cannot both be on the service at the same time. Okay. So there is that, which is fine, because the way I watch, it doesn't matter. Now, I will say, like, if I wasn't buying the AEW pay-per-views for a lower price over the last 3 years, there are many I wouldn't have bought. Like, I would say I'd probably have bought maybe 3 or 4 a year. As it is, I think I probably bought every one but one every year. And usually that's because I was at the show. And I'm not going to buy a show that I went to, even though a lot of people do. And I'll never understand that one. Maybe I'll see myself in the crowd. You know, like, I don't know. I have no desire to watch a show I've already been to.
I know people who want like the TV experience. What did they say on the TV during this match?
No, I don't care. And there's been two I haven't bought just because of content. And this one coming up, I wasn't going to buy. But because I signed up for this service, I'm going to watch it now. And I wasn't going to pay the cheap price. Like, I wasn't going to pay $22. I just wasn't going to buy it. But now I'm getting $10. And I get Ring of Honor. And I like Ring of Honor. So I'll watch that too. So, you know, like, it's an insane deal that they're offering. And I'd be an idiot to pass it up is the way I look
at it. Yeah, and that's the thing also. And some of these services need to learn this kind of thing. It's the fair jumping thing. When you see a bunch of people jumping the fair, you feel like a sucker for paying the fair that you're going in and doing.
There was a movie theater that we used to go to, and there was and we knew they never checked tickets. So we would go in, we'd buy our popcorn, and then we'd just go walk into whatever theater we wanted to walk into. And they never checked us. And it was like, I felt like an idiot if I paid. You know what I mean?
I'm having flashbacks to childhood because if my friends did that and I joined them, I'd go up later to the box office and pay for the movie.
Oh, but the funny thing is you know the movie theaters are making their money on the popcorn anyways.
Well,
and we were always buying popcorns.
Yeah.
Well, no, this I was in my 30s. No, me and my buddy would go every week. And occasionally the guy would show up and, oh, where's your ticket? And, oh, shit, we forgot to buy it. Okay, we'll be right back. And we go buy it and we come back.
Canadian sociopaths. You know. That's what we're raising.
And this is a discount theater, too.
The $4 ticket, the second run movie theater. You're ripping them off. Oh, Paul.
But we're paying full price for popcorn. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I mean, down here, it's popcorn's actually sneaky expensive down here.
Oh, which is not sneaky at all. It's like, and it's gone up. Like, so back then, I think we were paying about $15 for a popcorn and a drink. Now it's like 25.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Not a hill I'm going to die on, but never let it be said that I'm a bad creative union member in any way.
No, and fair enough. And I'm not one of those workers' rights people. As far as I'm concerned, like, you sign a contract, that's what you get paid. And then at that point, it's your bosses. If they make more money, great. They make more money. If they make less money, well, they still got to pay you. So,
yes,
you know,
take that, Trey Hendrickson. Sorry, football.
Yeah, no. that's my opinion on all of it. So I don't know if that's pro owner or pro player. It's just pro capitalist.
It's very pro owner, and you would get railed on it by people who are like, yeah, but the people in NXT aren't making as much, and they do the same.
And are they going to make more if I give WWE more money? Of course not.
No.
Yeah,
fair enough.
The only person I'm ripping off is Tony Khan.
The other to do in wrestling critiques, I guess is how you would put it, is ESPN. Has decided to do away with the letter grades for pay-per-views. And my God, the clothes ripping and this is about ethics and wrestling journalism discussions that to me are terribly stupid have come to play on a very easy decision to make. Now, I'll give my background, but I just, it's one of these things where it's like, yes, but do you want the content providers being able to determine what the editorial content of a website is? And I'm here to tell you, kids, if you think WWE has control over editorial content, ESPN now owns both Major League Baseball television and all of the NFL's television products. The NFL Network, the Red Zone, those are all owned by ESPN. TKO is a very, very, very small player in this. And I know Thurston, Brandon Thurston, friend of the show, friend of Voices of Wrestling, has it up his craw that this is somehow affecting the coverage of the Janelle Grant story on ESPN, when I think that ESPN just doesn't view Vince McMahon as that big of a sports story on there. But I understand.
And they also, I think, are looking at this, and this is a he said, she said. That's the way they look at it.
What, the Janelle Grant or ESPN?
ESPN is looking at the Janelle Grant thing as a he said, she said.
I don't think they've gone that in depth about it, have they?
I think they looked at it from afar and said, what are we going to report?
Well, like, exactly.
There's nothing to report here.
Like, Vince McMahon owns no real sports properties. He owns the WWE.
Right, yeah. So this is, and there's that. Yeah, there's like, nobody's covering this.
But nevertheless, like, Andreas Hale is not the person to review wrestling shows. And I don't think you should be reviewing shows like sports website.
You were a writer on comedy shows, right?
Yeah, more or less.
So if you worked for, let's say you're writing a show for HBO.
Yes.
On the HBO website, are they doing reviews of your show and giving it a letter grade?
No.
No, of course not. Because if they give you a bad review, your bosses aren't going to be happy. And if they gave you a good review, everyone's going to look at that and say, oh, it's all bought and paid for.
Exactly. You know? It's a no-win situation.
Right.
And you know who figured this out pretty quick?
ESPN.
ESPN did. But there's another corollary to our age group. And this is more when we were younger.
Oh, okay.
Entertainment Tonight. The 30-minute infomercial and stuff. They used to... When it came on, it was like, oh, celebrities, and here's their newest projects, and oh, celebrities are just like us, kind of like the old Us magazine thing and stuff like that. But they used to have movie reviews from one Leonard Maltin. And it happened for a couple years, and then both Paramount, which I believe was the money behind Entertainment Tonight, and other studios were like, look, we're not going to make our stars available to you if Leonard Maltin's going to come out and say that our movie sucks.
Right.
So they took Leonard Maltin and turned him into a film historian to do other puff pieces about movies, which is probably what they should have been doing in the first place. Don't mind me. I do like a good movie review show. I loved me some Siskel and Ebert back in the day. And I also think Leonard Maltin has a good sense of humor about it, because he gave some movie a bad review, and then they put him in Gremlins 2. Uh-huh. As a movie reviewer who got attacked by the gremlins. So he has a sense of humor about such things too. But
Siskel and Ebert did not have
stars
of the movies on their show.
No, exactly. Yeah. They weren't going for access. And these things are about access. You know, if you want people reviewing shows, it should be in service of the product, which is also a conflict of interest. Like, have Denise Salcedo come on in, because she likes everything.
Right, and she's never going to bury a show.
She's never going to bury a show because she uses the access that she gets from the different companies for content for her channel. It's fine. I also don't view wrestling journalism as all that ethical.
There's a difference. I mean, when you talk wrestling journalism, I mean, that's a broad spectrum, because a lot of people that if I type into my my Google chat or whatever the hell it's called, ChatGPT, and said, give me the top 20 wrestling journalists. Most of the people they give me are not actually journalists.
Right. They're content creators.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's their job, and that's fine. But the actual journalists are not the ones. Dave Meltzer is not afraid to be critical of the stuff he's watching, because he's not worried about getting access.
That's true too, but Dave also gets in trouble when he takes off reporter hat and puts on analyst hat.
Yeah, or when he, you know, when he shows up in the front row at an AEW show and all the crowd is playing to him and he's got a goofy look on his face like he's having the time of his life. That's
look,
great.
I
That's Dave as a
that.
Fan.
I am for that because if you go go watch, was it Chicago? Oh, it's the Chicago 1989 NWA pay-per-view where he's in the front row with Brad Muster and Steve Sims. Dr. Lucha, and he is having the time of his life watching Steamboat chop the hell out of Ric Flair and vice versa. And I am here for this because you know what, kids? Wrestling journalism isn't, it's not a real sport. It's entertainment. Go enjoy yourself and then cover it. If it's rooting in the press box, it's a little different. If you're covering a team and stuff like that, I find that.
Well,
I find the,
okay. And in this case, it's a little,
but even then they're homers.
But if you were given comp tickets by the company,
yes,
and then you're going to go on a show that is probably the most widely listened to wrestling podcast out there, and give a review of said show. Now I know Dave; I'm friends with Dave, as are you.
Yes,
and I trust that Dave would give an honest review of the show,
yeah,
of what he felt. But I can see where people that are critical.
I can see
of
the
Dave,
criticism. Yes, yes,
you got free tickets. In the front row, they played to you, and then you went and told everyone it was one of the best shows you ever been to.
And that happened with PWG too.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? PWG, a lot of people, hand up, felt that it got an inordinate amount of coverage for what it actually was.
Yes, I agree. I think there's an issue. I mean, and look.
And I think that's happening with CML right now too. But I mean, you can't argue their success. But in the grand picture, like they're, you know, I mean, they're incredibly successful in Mexico and they earned everything they won last year for promotion of the year and all that. But it just feels like, you know, this is a very regional product that is not as popular in the United States as the coverage would indicate that it is.
And I will, you know, you have to also call balls and strikes. Dave was invited to be in that press conference. Sketch at the end of AEW. He said, no, I don't want to do that. That's fine. I do think, yeah, it's one of these things.
We know other people that were. And
yeah, but like to me, yeah, getting comps from a company kind of toes the line a bit. It's one of those things where I kind of go, yeah. And we're giving,
I don't mind getting comps from a company, but then I don't think you can go and do a review.
Okay.
Right after.
I'm going. Yeah, or you can't. Or the company can't expect a quid pro quo either.
Right. You know, definitely that. And I think both sides know. Hey, if they put on a bad show, Dave's going to bury it.
Right.
But
yeah,
I've taken comps from AEW and never on a show that I was going to be reviewing afterwards.
Okay. Fair.
So you know, I will cover them and I give them, I think, fair coverage. I mean, we get criticized for our coverage, so it's probably pretty fair. And they have not denied me coverage, you know, despite the fact that I don't always put over their show. So, you know, in that sense, they're not, it's not quid pro quo for them.
No, nor should they expect it. I mean, usually when you get, and also usually when you get comp tickets, usually far away or in the back so that nobody knows you're there.
Second row.
I know. Yeah. For other people, for me.
That was, you could have had those tickets, but you decided to go see Maroon 5.
Oh, that's right. For this one. No, I'm just talking the times that I did.
Oh, yeah. Because that was Tanahashi's U.S. You even said if I knew Tanahashi was going to be there. And the funny thing is because they didn't advertise it until like 3 o'clock that afternoon.
Got dumped right after the Maroon 5 show, too. So that was
there you
nice.
Go. Yeah. but you even said, if I knew Tanahashi was going to be there, I probably would have gone with you.
They didn't advertise Tanahashi either. That's the thing that was so frustrating. But so let's lazy river the actual graps type stuff a bit. But we will start with AEW Revolution and a preview. We went over this last night. I don't think anything's changed on it. I'll try it. It's so weird how Wikipedia stretches it because you're trying to go, okay, I want to do the main event last, and then you're looking for the main event within the 30 different things. But let's go.
There's at least one match added because it was only 12 last night. And I
have
13.
Okay, I have 13. But I think they added the Big Boom AJ versus 2.
No, that was there before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So well, then let's figure it out together, shall we? All right. On the,
oh, no, you know what? Oh, I'm wrong. I think it was 13 last night.
Okay. On the quote-unquote 0 hour 21-man blackjack battle royal. I'm going to click this to see if they actually have the rules. No, they don't. Okay. Because they have blackjack and then battle royal as links. Ricochet against 21 other people for his AEW National Championship, a prestigious award. The only known factor in there right now is Tommaso Ciampa. Do you have Ricochet or are you taking the field?
I'll take the field.
I like the call that this bleeds into the pay-per-view and that there's, although in a battle royal, everybody has to start at once, right? It's not going to be 20 people and then the wild card. But if it were that way, I'd say the wild card might be a return. It might actually be Will.
Oh, I think it's a little soon for that, but.
Okay.
I
mean, totally maybe somebody possible. Else then.
I do think we're going to see Will, and I can't remember if I called that last night.
You did. You said last night after the main event, though. So
after the main event. Yeah, that's what I'm calling. That's what I'm calling.
Do you have a return?
All those Brits
here
can stay up. Yeah, I think we'll get a return or a debut. I couldn't even guess who. There's a lot of people we haven't seen in a while, so it could be anybody.
Okay.
Maybe Eddie Kingston. Haven't seen him in a while.
That's actually true. I was saying somebody LA-based. You know what? They could just reintroduce Bowens here in some way, although he's been.
Yeah. He's been doing that stuff with Hook.
Yeah, never mind.
I mean, anybody that's not on this card, I think, is a pretty good bet to be in this match.
Frankie Kazarian. So, let's see if he...
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't think that's coming, no.
Daniel Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky's around. Sure, anybody from SCU. Willow Nightingale versus Lena Cross for the singles... in a singles match for the AEW TBS Championship. I think we both kind of agree on this, but I'll let you go over what we think.
Mm. Willow, but then she's, you know, something happens. Maybe she gets attacked after the match by Megan and her, and they lay her out, and then she's at far less than 100% for her second match of the night, which will be later.
Yeah. Then to the main card, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and Roderick Strong.
Oh, my God. What? This is the one they added. This is the one they added, I think.
The redeemed, after leaving him for dead, Roderick Strong versus the Dogs of David Finlay, Clark Connors, and Gabe Kidd. Thank you to AEW for putting their promo on social media, not on television, so we can know what's up with this.
Oh, group. So whose promo? Was it Darby, Orange, and Roddy?
No, it was the Dogs. They did a promo. Oh.
So we still don't know why Roddy walked out on Orange and saved him.
No, okay. No, we don't.
Doesn't matter, I guess. I was told this was a great story, and it was the logical conclusion.
It wasn't. I don't get you people.
Well, it would have been if he hadn't walked out on him a month ago and told him in a promo ahead of time, I hate you and I don't want to tag with you anymore.
If he came back and said, I'm sorry before he came out and did this, maybe I'd believe it. But instead,
if he had to walk to the ring at a glacially slow speed to make a quote unquote save and then pretended to be with the Dogs before, you know, it's a swerve, bro.
Ian Riccaboni. Oh, what a redemption story. Screw you, Rick. One trick pony.
I've had enough of Riccaboni on Dynamite.
I couldn't believe this. Who do you have, baby faces or heels?
I as I said last night, it doesn't matter. So let's say the baby faces.
But yeah, it's a big group hug.
I think it's possible we could get another dog added at some point. So I think these teams are just going to keep increasing until we get enough to do a blood and guts match. That's my call.
God, you'd have to bunch of guys with black trunks and knee pads. It looks like
bunch of generic guys that Kevin Nash would call a vanilla midget if he was still relevant.
Oh my!
Actually, Gabe Kidd's pretty big, so I don't know if he would qualify as a vanilla midget. But the other
is he that big? He doesn't.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's like 6'2".
Oh really?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the aforementioned tag match, the Babes of Wrath, Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale versus Megan Bain and Lena Cross for the Women's
World Tag Title. 6'2", 235. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Babes of Wrath, I walked over you. Babes of Wrath against the Mega Bad or whatever they're called.
The Twin Towers is what I'm calling
The Twin Towers. Let's go with that, yeah. Yeah, I think we're getting a title change here.
Good. I need me a dominant heel team running through people, and then you have the brawling birds over here doing their shtick. and give it 2 months and then put them together and just let them beat the crap out of each other. I like the Babe's Wrath. I like me some Harley. We were talking last night that she's had some issues on social media about Penelope Ford when it's not her fault.
Correct.
Stop this, people.
Yeah,
stop being creepy on social media.
She's a wonderful person. And,
she's a wonderful person, but wrestling fans are garbage sometimes, and I'm tired of it. I'm just tired.
Yeah, all the same people that thought Tamara Mae Steele was fired are the ones that were,
the obsessives. Timeless Toni Storm versus Marina Shafir in a singles match where everyone's banned from ringside, and maybe we'll get some clarity on what Marina Shafir is doing in this babyface group, but... we have a different opinion on this one. You think Marina, I think Tony.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of coming around to your thinking. I think we're getting close to Mercedes coming back to AEW television, and I feel like we're on a collision course with Tony and Mercedes to have a rematch at All In. So I think Tony's losing days are done for a while, and she's probably winning this one.
Yeah, it
and
feels
no
like
people allowed at ringside probably. Maybe, is this a continental title match? it's for the women's continental title. So I just made up a new title.
Hopefully everyone banned at ringside to me screams Wheeler Yuta's coming to ringside.
That would break the stipulation, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, but remember Wheeler FU Yuta chant
night. Wheeler's probably in that battle royal.
Probably true too. Big Boom AJ versus to be announced. I think we got some clarity on the collision tapings about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a multi-person tag with AJ and QT and maybe somebody else against Shane Taylor Promotions.
Oh, okay. And they're the Ring of Honor Trios champs, I think. So
yeah.
So maybe even a title match or something to set up a match on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So what do you maybe would they get Paul Walter Hauser to team with them?
You know what? If that they do that, this would be the place. Look, I don't mind Big Boom AJ shtick. I really
no.
Don't.
I like it. Yeah, and I think he's a solid wrestler. And this can be on the main card.
Yeah.
Wow.
For once, they're taking him off the 0 hour and putting him on the main card. Just to see how the disaffected LA audience will react to him.
Yeah, nobody. Everyone's at the Oscars anyway, so.
So are all the Ubers, by the way, kids. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I got Big Boom AJ no matter what it is. I think they still do the feel good moment stuff here.
I'll go the other way just because I think that they'll build to a rematch at Double or Nothing.
Going for heat against Big
Boom
AJ.
and a match at Double or Nothing where AJ will get his win. So
I got news for you. Given his obnoxiousness, I think they might cheer for Shane Taylor Promotions if they do beat up AJ.
Maybe. Yeah, because he's probably not a popular guy in LA, East Coast, West Coast thing and all that.
Yes, you know, it's the Biggie Tupac of our time.
There you go. Shane Taylor and AJ, the Costco guy.
Chocolate chunk cookie. Don Callis family of Kazuchika Okada, Kyle Fletcher, and Mark Davis versus Mystic Jet Speed. I don't know. I was trying to portmanteau that. I couldn't do it. But Mystico and Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey for the World Trios Championship. I got chalk here, and I think Kevin Knight turns after the match. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I think he walks out, he disappears or something. So it's not clearly obvious what he's doing, but I think he ends up leaving them alone. I've been really thinking about this Kevin Knight thing probably way too much. And a lot of people are calling for him to turn on Hangman in the main event. And I think that might be what happens. And the whole thing is if you look at it, number one, he keeps being told he's the future. And so by the way to not be the future anymore is to eliminate part of the present. And not only that, Hangman walked out on him in their trios title match. And that's why they lost. So he may be holding a grudge over that.
Okay.
So I think he ends up leaving and leaves poor
crown jewel of the embassy.
Canadian. Maybe. Yeah. Well, see, and this is where I think we may end up with a situation where Nana recruits him, but Swerve is not necessarily on board with this.
Okay.
And Swerve doesn't really, isn't happy that he screwed Hangman.
Right.
Because we want that Hangman Swerve tag team.
Yeah.
That aren't necessarily heels or baby faces, but they're just ass kickers.
Speaking of ass kickers, the lovely and crazy Tekla versus Chris Statlander, 2 out of 3 falls match. Good Lord. For the AEW Women's World title.
Tekla and two falls, baby. That's what I want.
Two straight. But, 1-2 within 60 seconds, please.
But. Not in 60 seconds, but no, I think, I mean, whatever it is, I hope the first two falls are quick and then the third fall is the actual match. But I think Tekla's got to retain, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't see any. Other than the rebranding of Stat, I can't see taking the belt off of her this quick.
And then do we get Mercedes after this match, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. I think doing the stare down.
CEO. CEO. CEO.
Okay.
And then Tekla can call her that, you boss bitch.
Yeah. In her Austrian accent. Brody King versus Swerve Strickland. I don't see any way that Swerve doesn't win this.
No, although I mean, Brody's going to be real popular in LA, I think, but
I think
Brody's been doing really good work the last couple months. I really do.
In standby mode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It's a standby pay-per-view match.
Standby promo, standby match.
If we get a standby match on this pay-per-view, I'm going to lose my mind.
Can we call him Brody Standby King?
That'd be great. Yeah. Or just call him. Yeah. Just Standby King.
Standby King.
Yeah.
Standby me King.
Yeah. If he was, you know what we need to get John Hennigan back on the show and he can be Johnny Standby. And he just wrestles all the standby matches.
He can be the designated.
It's gold, player. Jerry Gold.
Andrade El Idolo versus Bandido.
Yeah, it should be a fun match. Andrade probably win. Andrade wins and then sets up a rematch on
the ROH. Yeah, I can't believe we're using AEW pay-per-views to set up Ring of Honor matches.
I can't figure any other reason why we'd be doing this. And Callis wants all the titles, right? So
John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita in a no time limit match for AEW Continental Championship. I assume this will go on first and will probably last throughout the entire pay-per-view as they brawl around the arena and then come back for like an hour later. I don't know
if that works for a Continental match, but I assume it's going to be the first match because Moxley always is. I called for a title change where something happens where the ref doesn't see it and Takeshita doesn't see it, but it hurts Moxley. And then so he takes advantage of it without realizing that he took advantage of it. And then later on feels bad about it.
I got something similar, but I have Moxley retaining. I think the Callis family has tried to ruin the purity of the Continental title matches, even though that's already been ruined. And then they get mad at Takeshita for not taking them up on the offer and they turn on him. And then Moxley makes the save.
So there's like maybe like a screwdriver in the turnbuckles or something, and Takeshita refuses to use it.
Right.
Something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
FTR, Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, Jeff's favorite tag team, with Stokely versus the Young Bucks of Matt and Nick Jackson. A tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. I think we diverge on this, possibly.
My favorite tag team. I think the Young Bucks are going to win in LA.
Okay. So, I have FTR retaining.
Okay.
I remember what my ending was last night. It's that Cash pins one guy pins one guy from one team and the other guy pins the other guy from the other team simultaneously. And then the belts are held up and then Edge and Christian come out on demand. And then we have a 3-way ladder match of some sort.
Bryce Rensburg doesn't know what to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Rick Knox. Because Knox is the
boss. Oh, yeah, it's Rick Knox that does their matches, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then they end up pile-driving Rick Knox or something afterwards, too. So
I think we're building to something with Stokely and Beth at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels that way. Don't know how we get there.
That pay-per-view in April feels like a bit of a lame duck show, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then finally, the last chance Texas death match for the AEW World Championship. MJF, your betting favorite right now, I think.
Yeah, which surprises me.
versus Hangman Adam Page. And we both agree, I want to see if you've decided to hedge a little, that the only interesting outcome for this is for Hangman to have to live up to the stipulation for a while.
Yeah, like I think, okay, put it this way. I think that the intention, if Hangman loses, the intention of Tony Khan is to uphold the stipulation. But I do think that they won't. You know, at some point, Hangman would challenge again. You know, they'll get out of it somehow, but they don't have to. And there's ways that, you know, there's ways that you don't have to. And there's logical ways to build to, you know, they have all these different things where people can earn a title shot. So if, you know, if Hangman enters the Owen some year and wins it, does that mean he doesn't get right. the title shot? Or does it mean he can't even be in the Owen because the prize is a world title and you are shot and you can't be in it because you're not allowed to challenge? I don't think so. Like, I think that's the way around it. Or again, he gets the heel champion so mad at him that the heel like set like is almost forcing him to take a title shot, you know?
Yeah, I don't want that though. I want this to be a psychic break and for him to break his word and to win it as a heel. I think heel
just say,
Hangman
just
Adam
say,
Page.
Fuck you, like I'm going back on my word because
I didn't mean it. Look, here's the exact phrase he has to say. I didn't mean it, dumbass. Boom.
This is pro wrestling. People lie.
This is pro wrestling, dumbass. Just he has to say dumbass because that's his phrase now. I'm here for that.
Okay.
And MJF can fight baby faces or heels. He's fine doing either. But
I think MJF's retaining. I think he is retaining. And the fact that he set up two future title matches on the show kind of almost felt like a giveaway in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like one with Bayley and one with Kyle Fletcher.
It was almost like they weren't interested. I hate when they do this though. I want the hard sell for the pay-per-view, not the, hey, here's some future title matches for later. No. On the
what
show.
Did you think? We didn't really talk about this last night. I don't think. But what did you think of the way Hangman responded to the question, "What's next for you if you lose?" I actually thinking about. I really liked the way he responded to it.
He was thrown off by it.
He was thrown off, and he's like, "It doesn't matter because I'm going to win." You know, like, I thought it was a very, like, it's the way somebody would react to a question like that, because it was as if he had never even considered the fact that he might lose.
Actually, you know what? I had a different tact on, but I like that tact. Don't get me wrong. To me, the answer, he was swallowing his real answer.
Oh, okay.
The real answer is nothing. And he doesn't want to say that.
Oh, okay.
So he had to take that moment to go. He was about to go nothing, and then he goes, and then says, "That's not going to happen."
Right,
kind of a thing. That's how. That's how I viewed it. It's almost like he had to put himself in denial that it could happen for a moment, because he doesn't want to admit that there's nothing else left if he doesn't win this title.
Right, and I mean the fact is, I mean there's, you know, 8,000 titles out there that he can challenge for, but. You know, if he is never able to challenge for the AEW World Championship, does that mean he just vanishes?
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be interesting. I want the two man heel group. I do. I am that guy.
Yeah.
But
I agree. We both want that.
So let's do a little lazy rivering. I have 2 points I want to make, so I'll just make one. And I'll let you go to the next one. But it's about the big angle at the end of Raw. CM Punk, the Usos. Why does CM Punk want to get booed so badly on this run where everybody wants to cheer him right now to get his dream of the WrestleMania main event? I don't understand this. I hated that angle because here's the problem, Paul. The Usos are right. The Usos are dead right. And Punk is playing this I'm a jerk with a point type thing again, which me and the other co-hosts of this show used to go over constantly, but that was in the media type thing. Here, it feels like they've made the conscious decision to heel CM Punk in this feud, and I don't like it.
Who is the WWE superstar that used to always say the best kind of heel is the heel that believes everything that he says?
All of them, for the most part. But
no, but there was one that would trumpet this. And his most famous character, and he's had a few of them over the years, was somebody that he patterned after, somebody in a movie.
Oh, Jericho.
Jericho. I think that we're getting a Punk and Jericho team.
Really?
Yeah. There's been two references to Jericho made by Punk in the last 2 weeks. Okay. You may not have even caught them. He told Roman Reigns that he made the list.
Uh-huh.
And then this past week, there was something else he said that was a Jericho. Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on what it was.
Oh, drink it in, baby, or something like that.
Drink it in. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And I think we may get, and not just Jericho, but Keys. So Punk, Jericho, and Keys against Roman and the Usos.
As kind of the stand-in for AEW?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe if Cody goes
Punk
heel.
Punk as Team AEW, that's great.
That'd be something. Yeah. But, okay, now that I'm here for the Easter eggs.
And Punk has wanted to be a heel for so long, like going back to the Bucks, really. I think he would have been totally fine doing a feud with the Bucks as a heel. But, you know, the fans at that time didn't want it.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, he and AJ have that natural passive aggressive stuff, but it's just one of those things where I was just like, they've been playing up that this has been his dream now for the last 2 years because he did the feud with Drew ruining that dream. And now they got babyface versus babyface, and they've just decided that Punk's going to be an asshole. And I was just watching this going, Jay's right.
Yeah. I found the other reference, by the way. He said he sat under the learning tree.
Sat under the learning tree. Okay. I can't deny you now. You've picked up on the pattern. Yeah. Once is an accident, twice is a pattern.
Well, so, and then if he said the other thing that you said, which I'm not sure if he did, I don't remember it, but it's possible he did.
I thought he said drink it in at some point. Okay.
If he did, that's three. And that's not a coincidence.
That's not a coincidence at all. They're just going to hammer it home until we all realize it.
Yeah.
So where would you like to go somewhere? I think you wanted to...
We kind of talked about, I mentioned that Tamera May Steele had a match with Kendall Gray on Evolve last night. It was a really good match. Like, I actually think it was a better match than their first one. But what stuck out at me was how much Kendall's improved and how much Tamera May Steele has stalled, if not gotten worse. And I think that's an indictment on WWE and their training. I wouldn't necessarily say it's an indictment on her, although you could say that, I suppose. It was an interesting episode because, as you had told me before I watched it, that she had vacated the title. So the setup for it was she had to defend the title, but if she won, then she could leave Evolve as a champion. And then, they haven't announced what they're going to do with that belt. So she did. And then they did a nice video package for her after the show. And it was, she said goodbye to Evolve and whatever. And then Jackson Drake's doing the same thing next week. He's going to defend the title. And then if he wins, he leaves without the belt. And if he loses,
graduates.
Obviously,
yeah,
whoever beats him. Yeah, they call it the final evolution is what they called it. So you lose. And you lose the title, obviously, but if you win, you get to leave as champion and then the title's vacant. But Evolution, the interesting thing, which you didn't tell me, and maybe you didn't even know.
I probably didn't.
So when Stevie Turner left the company in October, they had a bunch of episodes of the can. So she was still the GM for about a month and a half after she left the company. And then they didn't have one for the last 2-3 months. And they named a new GM, although the person they named did not like the title of GM. So he says he wants to be referred to as the foreman of Evolve.
Who is it?
You're puzzled.
I haven't
Timothy
heard this.
Thatcher.
Yeah. All right. I'm here
so
for
he's
this.
He is the foreman of Evolve. And he is a take no prisoners, boss.
Look, this show used to hammer Thatcher as having no personality. So I'm kind of here for this. I'm kind of here for personality-driven Timothy Thatcher. And also, just I have nothing but respect for a guy who kept his accounting job while wrestling.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, he basically just get in people's faces and say, no, you're doing this, and that's it. Like, you know, he's
competency. I'm here for competency in my general matters.
And he's not lazy. Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm watching Robert Stone talk about this and who they're going to name, and I'm like, who is it gonna, and oh, okay. That was my reaction, kind of similar to yours. I thought it was interesting, and we'll see. Like, I don't know. I mean, they taped this stuff a couple weeks ago, but you never hear anything about Evolve until it actually airs. So I don't know what happened. And well, I don't want to know.
Your point goes into mine. I actually thought it was a pretty good week for women's wrestling across the board. I mean, you start with Raw.
Yeah, that gauntlet was good.
The gauntlet was good. I'll tell you something. Ivy Nile does not get enough credit for her improvement. And that's a problem in the arts in general, where someone gets elevated a little bit too far above where they should be. And then you don't give them credit for adapting and learning more. But I think she's... Look, I'm not going to say she's a workhorse, but she's actually, you know, she's doing the work and she's getting better at this.
She's been doing 10-minute matches on Main Event.
Yeah, with like
the last 2 years with everybody.
With like the Carmen Petroviches of the world and stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, that's what she's doing now. But before that, it was, you know, it was basically whichever top star on Raw wasn't wrestling that week. And so she got better, and now she's the one leading the dance with some of these younger people.
And she is jacked too. I didn't notice that until...
a match with who's it? It was one of really green rookie from like LFG a couple weeks ago, and it was good. Like, it was like Zeta Steel or something.
And Bayley and Asuka is just that little throwback. Just a little throwback to the old days. I mean, Bayley has still just enough to do that type of stuff. Like, she's doing the old school flying through the ropes, doing drop kicks. I mean, Asuka, of course, is just kicking the crap out of you all the time.
Lyra just pounded Kairi Sane into the ring apron. Oh my God!
But that and the dive that on that thing on Asuka, or just she gets hit in the mouth. You're like, my God, what, these women are tough. Then you get to NXT. Lady Reed and Soul was good. Maddie Ren. Yeah, I always call it.
Oh, who did she wrestle?
It was Ren and Thea Hale.
Oh, right. Yeah, that speed match. Yeah, that was good.
And I worry about Thea. I think she should have been brought up by now in Chase U, and she's kind of floundering a bit, but I still like her a lot. I mean, both of those matches.
She looks like she's 8 to 10 years in the last three.
Yeah. I wonder if she's smoking. Because you and I both, aged 10 years in the face. It's like, my God. But, you know, I mean, I still like her a lot. And that's the thing. And Ren, I think they're telling this story that she's not going to win the big one until she wins Ultimate Survivor this year. I think Kendall actually ends up winning the title, and then it becomes Ren versus Kendall at some point.
I think Kendall winning at Stand and Deliver's probably, you can put that in pen.
Yeah, because I think JC's finally going to get brought up too, probably with the others. But, you know,
they should bring up that whole crew, or you could team her with the Bellas.
Yeah, I heard so that. Of a better upgrade. No offense to Jasmine Knicks fans out there.
Lainey shocked the hell out of me with how good her match was with Soul.
Yeah, she was really, really good.
Yeah, I was surprised. And it's funny because I remember when they brought her in, like, it was just it was when Blake Monroe debuted. You remember?
Yeah,
and her
gimmick was just, I'm Southern. And you're just like,
yeah, and
all
I'm
right,
Lainey
whatever.
Reed. And that's, and you're like, who the hell are you? But then she wrestled, and you're like, oh, she's pretty good. At first, I thought she was like a low rent. What's that? The woman, the sassy Southern Belle that.
Oh, Lacey Evans. Pregnant.
Yeah, I thought she was just Lacey Evans 2.0, but she's a lot better than that.
And then last night on Dynamite, I thought Willow and Persephone was really good too. Until
yeah,
the end.
Yeah,
the
it
end,
was
the
they
end
had
end
a
sucked.
Tough go because the crowd was, you know, coming down from that Kyle Fletcher match, but. Yeah, it was a bad finish, but the match itself was really good.
Anything else on the wrestling spectrum that caught your attention this week?
I've been watching the New Japan Cup, and it's not lighting my world on fire. A lot of bad matches. I mean, there was Drilla Maloney and I can't even remember
Aaron Wolf.
No, but you know what? Aaron Wolf had a good match. It was him teaming. I can't remember who he teamed with, but they wrestled the Knockout Brothers. And okay. it was a good match. Like, you know, and I was surprised. It was like an opening match on the show. And then today's main event was Bolton Oleg and Hanare. And you'd love this match. Like, this was great. Really? They beat the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes. And it was awesome. Like, I would go out of your way to see that if you have a chance. But other than that, like the tournament hasn't been lighting my world on fire. I will ask you, I keep track of all the matches I watch, right? There are two wrestlers that are tied for the most matches that I've watched this year at 14 matches. Who
are you going to ask me? Take who a I guess. Think they are. Oh God!
Take a guess. See if you can get one of them.
Speedball Mike Bailey.
No.
Really? Huh. That's shocking to me. Okay.
He's probably around 11, maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's up there. Okay. Yeah. Does this involve indie matches of any kind?
I don't think so. No. I mean, no. They're both exclusively for one company.
Okay, so it's somebody who's on TV weekly.
Yeah,
or possibly doing double duty. I'm guessing Kendall Gray may actually be one.
Kendall's up there. WWE. I'll tell you.
I was counting Evolve.
Kendall is at only eight.
I was wrong. Eight.
I will tell you this, and just kind of give it away. Maybe one of the people had his very first match this year.
Huh.
Like his very first match.
So that'd be Aaron Wolf then, wouldn't it?
That would be Aaron Wolf. The other person.
I'm not going to guess Aaron Wolf in a million years. I made it as a joke.
No, but I've watched 14 Aaron Wolf matches this year.
My God, what is wrong with you?
13, 14, 15. No, 15. Sorry, 15.
That tag match? Yeah. Okay.
The tag match and the match he had his first match.
I just hear people burying him all the time.
He's not very good at all, but but he had a good match. The match they had, Evil at Tokyo Dome, was pretty good.
Okay.
And then the other guy won his first major title this year.
What do you consider a major title? That'll be funny.
World title for a major promotion.
Oh, okay.
That gives it away right there, I think. Yota Tsuji. Yeah. So
I'm not going to guess New Japan people ever because I don't watch New Japan.
Everyone says I'm a WWE honk, and I really watch more New Japan.
No, you watch everything. You watch everything, and this is why I talk to you occasionally to catch up on things I don't watch because I've started reading books again.
But I watch every New Japan show that goes up on World. I don't necessarily always watch every match.
And you can watch wrestling while you're working. I have to actually concentrate on my work.
This is true. Well, no. Like I don't. Okay. So to be clear, and I have to explain this to somebody, I'm not doing like I'm at work, but I'm not necessarily physically in the process of working while I'm watching wrestling. I have my phone with me. If I get an email, I'll pause the show. I'll read my email. I'll go back to my computer if I need to do something, but I go back and forth between rooms.
So. Right, I've tried doing that, but I'm software testing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I realize I need to have concentration while I'm doing that.
And the funny thing is even with what I do, like I'm still probably the most productive person on my team.
Yeah, like if I was doing legal admin, still I could do that in my sleep because you only have to really concentrate when you're doing the actual.
Exactly.
You know, 5 minutes of work, and then the rest of the time is just like, I'll daydream and I'll be at my computer pretending to work.
And I'm listening to podcasts when I'm at my desk work. So
I can do that too. So let's end it there. Get your plugs in, sir. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I had a lot of fun. I'm always up for this. I don't really have much to plug. I do a show every week.
Do it anyways, Paul, because I'm giving you time to plug us.
I do a couple shows on the Fight Game Media Network. So if you want to subscribe to Fight Game Media YouTube channel, you'll get notified when they happen. Usually Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be on with Garrett Gonzalez. Like we record on Tuesday, but sometimes we don't drop it till Wednesday. the takedown, where we just dive in on one or two topics, about a half an hour or so. It's quick list. And then Jeff and I do a deep dive into Dynamite every week. We usually go for about 90 minutes. And that's also on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel directly after Dynamite ends, or you can listen to the free audio feed, all your major podcast platforms. Just search Fight Game Media, and you can get every show on the network for free.
I'll throw out another plug for you. Whenever there's a UFC show, he's usually on after with Dave and whoever.
And Dave, you know, we'll talk a little bit of wrestling, but, you know, mostly UFC. But Dave, for whatever reason, is interested in my opinions on wrestling. Go figure.
And you can follow me on X at CrapGame13, or you can just follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. I do the retweets of when the episodes come out. Rob doesn't let me get my plugs in, so we do this occasionally so they can do that as well. But, enjoy Revolution, kids. We'll see you next week.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.